Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Yellen. And joining me on the line right now from the National Weather Service is meteorologist Matt Zika. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on again.
Every year we get together and we talk about severe weather awareness. And now the Severe Weather Awareness Week, people may remember, actually happens a little earlier than this. But as we talk about the most severe weather you'd have to really worry about in late March, early April is melting snow. So we back it up a little bit just so that it's a little bit more appropriate for listeners in our area. So as we're talking now, Matt, just kind of what's going on throughout the state as far as our weather?
Well, really, right now, obviously, every year there's a statewide initiative to start to tell the folks, okay, we're getting ready to wind down through winter, and we're looking ahead to the spring and summer. And obviously, with spring and summertime weather comes a whole different myriad of weather hazards. While the statewide initiative is usually in early April to get people thinking ahead, we realize up here in the UP, we still have to deal with our melting snow, and usually we're dealing actually with some spring snowmelt flooding threats, but that's not so much a concern so far this year because, we were down considerably on our snowfall across most of the UP. The only areas that seemed to be close to normal was the stripe from around Houghton down through the South Range area and those areas. So the Keweenaw seemed to do okay snowfall-wise, but most areas across the UP were down significantly with their snow through the winter season.
I had my first flooded basement this year.
Which is kind of ironic where, we've gone through the last few years where it's been so cold and the Keweenaw's had so much snow and the snow melt has lingered on later into the spring. And so it's kind of interesting that there's a couple of reports of that coming in.
Yeah. Well, mine was because my sub pump stopped working. So
oh, okay.
And my wife called me down and there was about 6 inches of water. She goes, "Is this normal?" No, it's not. That's anything but normal. So after a couple of days, we got the system back and working again, and everything's fine now. I've heard a lot of people talk about that this is it seemed like such a tough spring, but in actuality, as you said, it was a lot milder than what we've been used to. I think people just got a little bit spoiled because it got nice early on.
Right, yeah, I think that was the big thing, where during the month of March, actually most of the winter, the temperatures were way above normal for December, even January, February, and during the month of March, and it looked like winter, the back of winter was broken in the middle of March when we had a string of nice 40 and 50 degree days. But then, Mother Nature always seems to want to throw one last curveball at us, and that was the beginning of April. So far this month, obviously, our temperatures have been a little bit below normal for April, and some areas actually have done very well. So if you like snowfall for the, at least during the spring season, you come farther south around the Marquette area, and we're pushing almost 50 inches of snow for the month of April. So it's kind of unusual to get that much snow late in the season. But the good thing about any cold and snow this time of year, usually it doesn't last very long, and there's much milder days ahead. And no doubt the overall forecast kind of suggests that as we head into the beginning of May.
Now, on the topic of severe weather, we just recently had statewide tornado drills, and I was wondering if you can give me an update and all on just how that went.
Actually, during the Severe Weather Awareness Week, back on April 13th, there was a statewide tornado drill, and it was an opportunity for all the Weather Service offices across the state to issue a test tornado warning during that awareness week. And that was really meant for folks to kind of think ahead, if they hear the activation of the emergency alert system tones on the radio, followed by, there's a weather warning for their area. We would just want people to think ahead. What would I do if there actually was a warning? Obviously, here in the UP, most of the focus really isn't on the fact, we might have to be prepared for tornadoes. It's more the fact that we can get very severe thunderstorms up here with real high winds. And of any population that's probably the most vulnerable up here in the UP, it's our outdoor population during the summer season. And that's why we want people at that time to be thinking ahead. And if they're outdoors camping, hiking, on a boat, and they hear the activation or hear there's a weather warning for their area, we want to make sure they're seeking shelter, at least in the most sturdiest place they can get until the storm has actually passed.
And it's amazing what you can get used to if you live in an area long enough, because I come from the Metro Detroit area. When I first moved up here, we had our first storm with 60-mile-an-hour winds coming off Lake Superior, and this was during the late spring, early summer, and I was like, you aren't we going to go hide or get shelter? And, oh, this is just a normal spring squall here, you know, and, people were a lot, used to it, but that can cause a lot of damage and can put you in danger with those type of winds.
Absolutely. And that, when I moved up here from the South many years ago, too, I was like, well, it should be easy to talk to the old Ubers about weather preparedness and safety because we get some crazy weather up here. But what I found, most people kind of deal with it and move on. The only thing about that is we do have to be cautious because from time to time we go longer periods in between our real significant severe weather events, but the potential is still here. So that's why we just need people to have at least a plan in their back of their minds, and we want them, even if it's just a severe thunderstorm warning issued for their area, we want people taking action to make sure they're in a safe, sturdy shelter until the storm moves past. We could look down last summer, not even that far away from the UP, down around in the Traverse City area, Sleeping Bear Dunes. There is a squall that came through there, a bow echo that had winds around 80 to 100 miles per hour that knocked down swaths of trees all across northern lower Michigan. And, it isn't that far removed from a similar situation happening here across the UP. And it has happened before. And that's why the importance of getting prepared and getting ready for the upcoming summer season and can start considering some of the hazards that come along with our thunderstorms.
Does NOAA track the number of weather-related injuries or fatalities in a given year?
Absolutely. Yep, there's always a running total, and there's an official database that goes down that tracks all the severe weather reports we've actually received, from hail reports to wind damage reports to high wind reports and tornado reports, but then, too, if there's any injuries or fatalities that come along with those severe weather events.
And I would assume that data would show that the Upper Peninsula is not immune to those things.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had a fatality, say, from a tornado, but we've had falling trees on campsites and campgrounds during severe thunderstorms with high winds. We've had people struck and injured and killed by lightning during the summer season. So there are hazards that we do face up here with the onset of summertime severe weather.
Well, let's talk about things you can do to be better prepared and keep yourself safe. And I think the best way to do that is think about different places you're going to be, and we'll start from there. So the most likely place you're going to be is going to be at home when a severe thunderstorm hits or other type of severe weather, whether it's high winds, hail, those things you mentioned. What are some things you should do ahead of time before the storm to be prepared in case that was to happen?
Really, the common sense thing with regards to any severe weather awareness and preparedness is obviously having a plan, knowing what you're going to do when you hear a weather warning is being issued or has been issued. And so when you're inside your house, obviously you don't want to be standing right at the window when there's large hail falling down that might actually break your windows, or if lightning strikes by nearby, or if there's tree limbs that may be falling that may put you at risk even inside your house. So just the most interior room within your house should be sufficient for most of the severe weather that we face up here in Upper Michigan. But along those lines, before we even get to that point of going to a safe place, it's people just being aware and having a way to receive weather information. So whether that be they're monitoring or listening to radio when they hear the EAS activation alert on their radio, or if they have a NOAA weather radio. Or in today's world, the reality is a lot of folks carry mobile devices around with them, and there's a myriad of apps out there on the market that would actually allow notification and alerting to their cell phone or mobile device to let them know that they're in a weather warning area.
And, of course, make sure that you have a working flashlight in an area you can easily get to. And don't count, you mentioned a cell phone. Don't count on that cell phone flashlight because, one, it wears down the battery very fast. And I have found if anybody's ever tried to actually navigate in the dark with one of those, they're not really that good. They do light up a very small area, but as far as, trying to, move around your house to get things that you need, that limited flashlight on your cell phone only provides you so much light.
Right, absolutely. And I think about that all the time, and for a number of times my power goes out from time to time, so I have a stash of flashlights on every floor next to every bed, and so in the event that it's late at night or during the overnight hours and the power is out because of a storm, you actually have access to some light so that you can get your way around. But then that too plays in the importance of having even a portable radio or portable weather radio, because if the power is out, at least you have some access to the latest weather information, especially if it's a longer duration severe weather event.
Is there really any danger during a lightning storm? You've may have heard about, you know, don't use your landline phones, don't, you know, don't use running water or take a shower. Are you, in with modern technology, do you see that happening?
That is still a legitimate hazard. If you're actually talking on a phone where you're connected by a wire to the outside world, yes, you are at risk. And we've had documented cases even within the last few years of people on their phones in the South that lightning struck outside or on the phone line nearby and came in and caused those people to be injured. Same way goes with people who are showering or in a bathtub. Just because your pipes are basically laid underground, and so if lightning strikes nearby outside your house, it's a perfect conductor and conduit for that electricity to make it into the house. Now, it's safe if you're in your house and you're talking on your cell phone or if you're talking on a cordless phone and things like that. You're not at risk of receiving a shock from a nearby lightning strike. But it's just if you're connected one way or the other, or if there's an easy avenue for electricity to make it into your house from the outside, and that's what would put you at risk.
Good to know. Another place you're very likely to find yourself when a storm, especially one that hits unexpectedly, you might be in your car. And if you're in your car and the storm hits, and you're it's almost a little too late to be prepared, you better know what to do at that point.
That's correct. And I will say, if you're stuck outdoors and you can't get into a sturdy building or structure to protect yourself, then obviously your vehicle is going to be the safest place to be, especially up here in the UP. Now, if it's even possible at that point, you don't want to be obviously surrounded by the tallest trees around, because if there's high winds, then you're still putting yourself at risk. But at least from a lightning standpoint, your vehicle is going to provide you the absolute adequate protection that you would need during a thunderstorm with a lot of lightning around.
As far as supplies in the car, there's, you know, that old adage, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And nobody ever plans on getting, you know, stuck somewhere because of severe weather or even of a car breaking down. And until it actually happens, and then you really wish that you had a phone charger if you've got a cell phone, an alternative light source if needed, a blanket if needed, and maybe even some extra supplies food wise you know, especially here in the Upper Peninsula, where you could be quite a ways from civilization in a very short time and not have cell phone service and get stuck.
Yes, that is true. Obviously, the winter time is our big time where we really push the idea of having a car safety kit, but they definitely have their value even all year round through the entire summer season, spring season, and even through the fall and the winter as well. And most of those tips you pointed out are ideal to have within your safety kit in the car, from having a little bit of water, a little bit of food on down the list to a cell phone charger and things like that are all very valuable, because you just never know when you might have to put them, you know, to use, and it's better to have it than not and put yourself in harm's way.
And Matt, the last place I can think of that you would find yourself in any extra danger is if you're boating, whether on Lake Superior or one of our many inland lakes. If you can't get caught out there, you're definitely in some good danger. So what can you do to avoid getting caught?
The biggest thing is being aware, especially of your surroundings, and having that access to the latest weather information, so that if you hear there's a storm on your way, don't always wait until you see the real dark clouds that are rolling close to you, because the storm can overtake you very quickly and you can really be put in harm's way in a very short amount of time. So the big thing is acting as soon as you're aware that there is an incoming threat and try to get to safe harbor. If you're out in the open water, obviously, you run the risk of experiencing the high winds and potential lightning strikes around you. And at that point, you just have to hunker down and do what's best. But the biggest thing we try to encourage folks is to be aware of their surroundings and have enough time to get to a safe harbor before the really bad weather actually hits.
Matt, is there things that people can do that sort of, help out with the National Weather Service, volunteer work that they can do to take care of some things?
Absolutely. The Weather Service, we're always looking for weather reports all across Upper Michigan and really around the country as a whole. It really is those citizens and the volunteers out there that are our eyes to let us know what's actually happening on the ground. We have great tools here at the Weather Service office with our Doppler radar to give us an idea where it's probably raining or there might be high winds and the high-resolution satellites and all that. But until somebody actually reports something or shows us a photograph that this is happening on my backyard right now, we don't know for a fact that that is true. And so as a result, every year we are out trying essentially to recruit folks to report weather information to us at the National Weather Service office. And we do that by going out to most counties across the UP and do a little short, what we call storm spotter presentation, and encourage folks to relay information to the Weather Service. We walk through the different types of maybe cloud structures or things that people might be indicators to them that severe weather may be on the horizon. And really, any weather enthusiasts out there will go through also and talk about some past severe weather events that have moved through the UP and break down how those reports actually helped and aided us issue weather warnings and keep the people safe across Upper Michigan.
Now, when people think of storm spotters, you know, they're thinking about chasing tornadoes in their car, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And the concept is out there, obviously, in the plains and in the south, but it's way different up here in Upper Michigan. We just want folks, let the weather come to them, and then they report to us what actually happened. And the way that we get our information now, it's changed in just the last 5 or 6 years with the advent of social media, and how quickly information passes nowadays is absolutely amazing. And so we can relay information through our social media channels, and now even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, we could put a call out through those channels and request information on what's happening out near Ironwood or up in Houghton, and there's always seems to be somebody awake at that time of night, and we can get information that way. And so it's really amazing how communication has changed over the years.
And, you know, it's a big help to us here in radio as well, because, it, you know, the quicker we can get the information, the better that we can share, because we're using the same tools that you are, the information that we get. And though it's a lot better now, there are times where it's limited. I remember a story from a radio mentor of mine. This would be, you know, a couple of decades ago, but he was sitting in a studio where radio stations aren't known for their windows, and was reporting the news off of his screen there that it was nice and bright and sunny outside, and immediately got a phone call from a very irate listener saying, "It's raining so hard, I can't see my garage." Well, the storm had moved in and it hadn't been updated on the weather, and his weather information there yet, and he wasn't looking out the window. And so, yeah, it does change that quickly. And it helps us get, you not only helps you, but it helps us get the word out.
Right, absolutely. And people are way more apt to respond to weather warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings, tornado warnings, if they've heard a storm has already either produced some sort of damage, or people can confirm some sort of severe weather is actually occurring. And so that's how we work hand in hand, where we can take those reports, we can compare it to what we're looking at on the actual radar, and that putting that all together actually helps us issue more timely warnings, and it provides more information that people can actually act upon, knowing that there actually really is a serious threat with this storm, because there's either large hail occurring or high winds have knocked trees down and things like that. So that's why we like to get those reports in real time and or as close to real time as possible, and use it with the technology that we're using. And ultimately, the ultimate goal of why there is actual National Weather Service is to keep the folks safe and residents across Upper Michigan by issuing those weather warnings.
Matt, if people want to be one of these storm spotters, how do they get involved?
Well, it's really easy. They can go to the Weather Service website, weather.gov, and click on the UP, and then there is a schedule right there for all the upcoming weather spotter presentations for this upcoming spring. We'll actually be up in the Keweenaw and Houghton on May 24th this year at Michigan Tech University at the ATDC building, starting at 6:30 p.m., and so that'll be our opportunity to be in the Keweenaw this spring. So anybody that's in or available that evening, we'd definitely encourage them to come out. They can call our office, 906-475-5212, if they want more information as well, if they don't have access to the schedule off of our website.
Now, I doubt there's a cost for being a storm spotter, but is there any cost for attending the presentation?
Absolutely no cost, free, open to the public, no registration is required. And, you know, even if you don't want to report information to us at the Weather Service after you go to one of these presentations, it's really usually pretty enjoyable. If you're any type of a weather enthusiast at all, we have plenty of information within the presentation that keeps people entertained and kind of I think it brings a new light to the fact that, oh, actually, we do have threats from severe weather up here in Upper Michigan.
Now, if you volunteer, are you under any obligation to report the storms? Is the public depending on the volunteer?
Well, I mean, obviously, we encourage folks to, but there's nothing that's holding them to the fire to say, oh, yeah, I had large hail or, you know, some trees were blown down in my yard. Nothing that says that you have to, report it, and nobody's going to come back and say, oh, well, you should have reported that. We encourage it, obviously, but it's really more, I think, trying to tie together or show the importance during the presentation to the folks how important that information is to relay to the Weather Service to help us make better decisions, and then relay that information through all the media masses from radio, TV, on down the list, so people realize what actually is occurring and what may be facing, or other communities downstream from that storm might actually be facing as the storm moves in their direction.
Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been a very enjoyable talk, and we approach the subject of severe weather awareness and think, oh, okay, here we go again, the things we hear from year in and year out. But Matt, it's been, this has been one of the better conversations on severe weather that I can remember. Very entertaining and very informative. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're always here to help out, and I enjoy going on and talking about it. And I just don't want to minimize. I mean, yes, we go longer periods in between our significant severe weather here in the UP, but it does happen from time to time. So we just have to keep that little note in the back of our head and be prepared to act when weather warnings are actually issued.
Matt Zika from the National Weather Service, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.